Hello, I'm Professor Liu. Welcome to our live stream. I'm here with Art Prof teaching artist Jordan McCracken Foster, and today we are doing a crit clash on Frida Kahlo. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof, critiques and tutorials. Let's talk a little bit first, about who Frida Kahlo was. She's somebody who I think a lot of people recognize, not just in terms of her paintings, but also just her as a person. She lived from 1907 to 1954. She was a Mexican painter. And typically, what she's known for are autobiographical paintings that have a surrealistic tone to them. A lot of people refer to her style as naive folk art, and her life was really, really dramatic. Mostly the scene that really caused all of her problems was when she was 18 years old. She was involved in a terrible bus accident, and that basically caused just years and years and years of medical problems. So her whole life, she was going in and out of hospitals. She had surgery on her spine, she had miscarriages, and so that largely did dictate a huge part of her life. And she was also married to Diego Rivera. Jordan, do you want to talk about that for a little bit?
Diego Rivera was originally someone that she admired as an artist. I think when she was young, when she was like 18, he was probably in his early 30s or late 30s. And she said, "One day I'm going to marry that man." And several years later, they ended up actually getting married. And their marriage was just completely tumultuous. There was a lot of strife going on. There were several affairs on both sides. And they ended up getting divorced because Diego cheated on Frida with her own sister, and then they got remarried later on, and they remained married until the end of her life. But it had a lot of issues. I'm sure we don't even know the half of the stuff that they were dealing with.
So basically, her life is the most dramatic soap opera that you could think about. I mean, everything that could have happened in her life seemed to happen. And I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, they had that Salma Hayek movie about her life a few years ago, which actually was a pretty good movie. I was sort of surprised. Did you see that movie, Jordan?
No, I've only seen the box art of it.
Well, usually I'm rolling my eyes whenever I see an artist movie, but that one was actually really well done and it had really beautiful visuals. So if you guys have not seen that movie with Salma Hayek, take a look at it. Okay, the other thing I think we should mention about Frida Kahlo is that similar, I think, to Bob Ross, who's so well known for his afro, she's also somebody who I think in a lot of ways is almost better known for the person she was than as an artist. Like, have you seen that anywhere, Jordan, in terms of her as a person?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many times where I would see my friends dress up as Frida Kahlo for Halloween, or they would just they would show off her, and like they would have the unibrow or the clothing that she wears, and hardly ever would they actually show her artwork, which is so amusing to me. But she's, like Clara said, she's become so famous that you almost don't even need to see her work; you just know her as an individual.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is about Frida Kahlo, but the high school art teachers are obsessed with her. Like, I'm in all these really dorky art teacher Facebook groups because I like to get ideas and know what type of content they want us to make. And literally, almost every day, there is a photo of an art teacher who dressed up as Frida for that day. Mind you, it's not Halloween. This is just I dressed up as Frida. And I don't really see that with any other artist, with the exception of Bob Ross. And so she does sort of occupy a similar place in art as a person, not just as an artist, that I think is somewhat similar in a way. Let's see, Damara Carpenter is saying she was also bisexual, and Sleipnir says she actively made herself a brand. Okay, well, just to explain to you guys how Crit Clash works, if you have not been here before, we assign a point of view, and today I am arguing against Frida Kahlo, Jordan is arguing for Frida Kahlo, and what we say in this stream may not be what we actually believe in real life. At the end of the video, you guys get to decide who won the Crit Clash, and then after the stream is over, you guys can come hang out with us in the Discord server, and we'll tell you what our true feelings are about Frida Kahlo. Okay, Jordan, why don't you start with your opening argument?
Right. So I think one of the biggest things about Frida Kahlo that is really difficult to ignore is the determination she had to become an artist, despite, you know, not going to some sort of prestigious art school or having any real professional training. She fought through all of the adversities that she faced with her health and learning how to paint in bed, essentially, with, you know, while being sick. And despite all that, she was able to also talk about these really tough issues dealing with some of the social issues and what it was like to be a woman in her predicament and all the health issues she was facing, and still become one of the most famous artists that that we can think of in the 20th century. You know, if you were to name, you know, top two or three, you could say like Picasso, Frida Kahlo, maybe. Since we named Bob Ross, I'll just put him as the third one. but there's something really unique about her, and I think that the fact that she's inspired so many other artists in this generation really says something about who she is and what she's contributed to the art community.
But see, to me, her presence as a person, a personality, basically, is really a big distraction. And I honestly feel that if she did not have the life that she had, which was a really difficult life, obviously, and if she did not have such a striking look to herself, I'm not so sure people would be that interested in her. Because let's face it, not every single artist looks like her. I mean, nobody looks like her. She's so distinctive as a person. I mean, she's known for the mustache that she painted, the unibrow. I mean, she showed a lot of physical features that I think oftentimes people don't want to show on themselves. And so I understand that she is such a strong personality. But when I look at her work, it's all about her. And she just never really ventured outside of that as an artist.
Well, you often mention an artist by the name of Rembrandt, who is known for painting many self-portraits of himself all throughout his life. And if I'm not mistaken, he had a much longer lifespan than Frida Kahlo. And we never get sick of those. And I think Frida Kahlo just happened to find something that she was particularly interested in. And, you know, yes, she does have a unique look with her unibrow and mustache, but it's not like she can really help it. She just happened to be born with that. And, you know, if that's something that makes her stand out in her position, I would use that, you know, my self-portraits. If I noticed something that was unique about me, like if I had a missing part of my finger or something like that, I might use that to help me stand out, even, you know, sort of turn your negatives into positive forces.
We've got some comments in the chat. My Chronic says her work kind of portrayed about her struggles, especially her mental health in her life, especially the miscarriage she had. And Delphine is saying, I think she's so popular because she's still one, the only famous female artist and an icon from the feminist movement. And Neil is saying, Prof. Lou, isn't your work about yourself as well? Yikes, you guys are like pulling out the ammunition, aren't you? Okay, well, I'm going to have to pull out the big guns now, okay? Now, see, Jordan, you're bringing up Rembrandt, okay? Yes, he painted himself many, many times. But, oh my gosh, if you look at what Rembrandt produced compared to Frida Kahlo, she did not produce that much work, and her work is all over the place. It's like there's no focus, and I sort of feel like when I look at her pieces, they're these like one-off paintings. It's like, hey, I think I'll do this. Hey, I think I'll do that. And I wish that she could be more focused and do a deeper dive, because I feel like these are all like really nicely painted ideas. But then she never digs deeper than that. And Rembrandt really did, because the thing about his self-portraits is, yeah, he did a lot of them. But I think what's amazing about them is the subtle shifts. And she's not about subtlety. She's all about like just throw it in your face. And I think that there's a gentle power in not being so confrontational about the imagery.
I don't know. I actually think she had a very wide range of stuff. Even though she included herself in all her paintings, she talked about her health, her social life, her marriage, her family, her miscarriage and a few of them. And there's actually a lot of stuff there. And I think she probably put herself in almost all of those to simply show her own perspective. As artists, we put a piece of ourselves in our work, and maybe in her case, she took a little bit more, a little more literally than most of us do. But I don't think that's really a reason to say that she didn't branch out enough.
Well, I just feel like if you look at her work, it's all the same style, it's all the same colors, it's the same shape. And I feel like when I look at artists who I truly admire, you really can see progression in their thought process. You can see how their technique changes over time. And she just sort of kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. And so, technique-wise, I just don't think that she tried that hard to step outside of what she was already good at. I mean, I will say, looking at these images, I can see why they're compelling to people because they are startling. A lot of these deal with images of death and symbols of birth. I mean, it's hard not to have a really emotional reaction to them. But when I look at them, they just feel like they're skimming the surface for me. I don't feel like there's that much more. We've got a super chat from Damara. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your support. And Dusty is saying, no more subtlety. Society has progressed past the need for subtlety. And TG says she painted herself because of her hard life. She was very lonely, but she did paint other paintings that are not self-portraits, but they're less popular. Well, let's talk about some of the formal aspects, Jordan. Like, let's talk about how she handles color in her paintings. What do you think?
I noticed that she tends to use a very limited kind of gray, not monochromatic palette, but that's something that's very common in her work. And I think part of that is just a reflection of how she saw the world. Her life was tough, all the health issues she had, and then her husband and not being happy when she would move from place to place because of his own shows and things like that. And I can't imagine what sort of mental stress that puts on you as an artist, and you might not want to use all the bright colors after something, after experiencing some of those things.
That's true, but I also feel like her color choices, they're really not very sophisticated. I mean, think about all the things she could have done with her facial expressions and using color as a communication for emotion. Because, okay, we're talking about really hard emotions that she experienced that were very turbulent throughout her entire life. And yet, when you look at all the portraits, it's that same typical, okay, earth tony type of skin tone. And I mean, why wouldn't she try something that's a lot more gutsy? Like if she did a self-portrait where her face was bright red, or maybe it was blue. And I don't know, I just feel like even this one, which is Broken Column, which was based on her spinal surgery, it's the same expression, this blank face everywhere. And if she wants to show that emotion, I feel like it could have been done better with color and facial expression.
I mean, that's possible for sure, but again, I don't know if that's what she wanted. I actually read something that said she wasn't happy with her smile or her teeth, and so that's why she would never really she wasn't a very she didn't really express emotion that way. And I know people who don't smile a whole lot, and they just tend to have that straight face all the time, and yet they're able to live through life. And it's possible that Frida was one of those people where she just it tends to keep things. Maybe not keep things bottled up, but has a different release for those emotions. And maybe the people who appreciate it more are the ones who can look past that straight face and look at the other things in the painting, some of the very obvious symbolism, like this one here with the arrows going through the body of the deer, and be able to put a narrative together that way.
Okay, so fine. Let's put aside the face for a little while. Maybe Frida didn't want to paint herself so expressionistically. But one thing I'll tell you, she really was not good at is gesture in her figures. Because especially if we go back and we look at this painting of her and Diego Rivera, there's this really, really stiff quality to the way that they're standing. And I just feel like that's a missed opportunity. Like, I feel that she was so safe in terms of the way that she could have exaggerated things. I mean, I'm thinking about somebody like Marc Chagall, who had these wiggly figures where the heads were pointing in different directions. It just feels like she stays within what she knows. And to me, a really good artist is willing to step outside of that and to try to play with that a little bit more.
Well, with that, I still think that, again, going back to the health issues that she had, she practically learned to paint in a bed, just like kind of stuck there, painting above her head. And she probably felt very boxed down. I don't imagine that's going to give you a whole lot of room to move your arm and do these fancy gestures. And it's possible she just didn't like the aesthetic. I don't know. But I noticed that a lot of artists tend not to do things that they don't really care for. like for myself, I'm not a huge fan of drawing cars. I know I need to, but I don't really like drawing them, and so I don't draw them very much. That's beside the point. But that's possible. That's the case for her. Maybe she just said, "I want to paint this stoic figure," and it's possible that she thought it was some sort of representation of her life, because. I think it was right before she died, she said something like that she hopes she doesn't like her she hopes her end is sweet and that she never has to come back or something like that. So she had a rough life. It's possible that that's what she was thinking.
Now, Jordan, though, you seem to be bringing up all of her hardship a lot. And yes, I sympathize. Don't tell me I don't sympathize because, oh my goodness, her life sounds tragic. I cannot imagine. I mean, just the marriage alone sounds horrific, much less all the medical problems. And that's terrible that she had to live through that. But it's like all the arguments that I'm seeing for Frida Kahlo here are all about, yeah, but she was sick and so yeah, she had trouble doing this. And it's like if we didn't know that and we just look at the paintings by themselves, if you take her as a person out of the equation, I don't think the paintings really stand that well on their own. Like we have this image here, I believe the one that's of the watermelon and the parrot and the orange. This is really not that good of a painting. I mean, compositionally, it's sort of boring. Things are centered. It's not about her. And so I just feel like when you take out her life story, the paintings aren't really that great. And so actually, Jordan and I recently we did a stream about whether to separate the art from the artist. And I just really think that people's fascination with her is totally embedded in her personal story, and it's really not about the paintings half the time.
How you can't really stop people from doing that though. If it's like she is who she is, and you can't remove your life story all the time. And so I don't know. In that same stream you mentioned, we also said it was on a case by case basis. There are some times where people do really horrific things, and we talked about whether or not we should support them as an artist. And she went through some really rough things, and I think that I listened to several couple biographies of quick 15, 20-minute videos of her life, and almost all of them just talk about how much her life kind of sucked. There weren't a whole lot of happy moments that I heard, and I would love to hear happy moments because I like happy things. I like laughing and smiling and stuff, but I just don't get the sense that that was something that she really wanted to focus on because that just wasn't her life.
I mean, to be fair, I'm not so sure that it's 100% her fault that people are so obsessed with her as a person, because I mean, she didn't have a lot of control over her unibrow and all that stuff. And so part of me is sort of frustrated that people really think about her so much as a person before they think about her as a painter. It's just, I'm saying, if you put all that aside and you stop the whole sympathy argument, that if we really evaluate her differently, because actually there's a lot of artists out there whose stories you really don't hear about. You're just like, oh yeah, it's some person. Like, how much do we know about Pontormo? Like, not very much. We just know he was a Renaissance dude and he painted people who looked worried all the time. But beyond that, we just look at the work. And I think that's what's really distracting about her is that her paintings really aren't that great. I mean, look at this background. in this. It's called My Nurse and I. I mean, the figures, I guess, are interesting, and she's got a strange proportion thing going with her figure. But the background, like that whole sky, it's really not that great when you think about it in more formal elements. Let's see. TG is saying, did you see Frida Kahlo's sketches and ink paintings she drew in her diary? I much prefer her drawings in her diary. I have not seen those. Have you seen her sketches before, Jordan?
No.
I mean, I'd be curious to look those up because I'll tell you, I love looking at people's sketchbooks because I feel like it's the most raw version of who they are. Dusty is saying, I think what Jordan is trying to get across is that her art might not be the most technical artist, but the imagery does speak to people. Okay, but here's the thing. I mean, if you make a portrait and you have pins on your body and you're naked and you're crying, and there's a, of course, people are going to feel bad for you. It's so blatant. And I feel that there are so many other artists out there who didn't have to be so reliant on shock value to get us all worked up.
I don't know. There have been several crit clashes where there are some people who did some things for shock value. And they're, like the banana duct tape and, the Banksy shredding his artwork at the museum type of thing. So I don't know. I don't think shock value is always all that bad. And in this and in those cases, those feel much more gimmicky. In this case, it feels with Frida Kahlo, it feels very, very personal to me. Like I think that's the one thing that I really appreciate. Everything just feels very personal and very unique to her. And so, yeah, I'll just leave it there. I was trying to go a second sentence.
Let's see. Ray is saying, in contrast, Vincent van Gogh is well known for his mental health issues, yet we speak about his style, his paintings a lot. Yeah, it is interesting to see the way things are balanced, I think, in terms of the artwork and the artist. And I mean, Jordan, I feel like you and I barely skimmed the surface in that stream the other day about separating the art from the artist, because there are so many different parts of artists that we can definitely talk about. All right, well, let's take another look at some of these images of her and Diego. And here's the other thing, Jordan. Okay, let's put aside all the striking images and all the colors and all the stories. She's not good at backgrounds, Jordan. Not at all. Like every single one of these, the background is not good. And come on, she could have done better with this. I just feel like every single one is just not good. She really should have done more with that.
I'm not very good at backgrounds. And so, I kind of sympathize and I understand what it I understand how sometimes there are things that you paint or draw that may just be difficult. And since she wasn't formally trained and she obviously had very specific things she wanted to say in her paintings, maybe the backgrounds just weren't something she was interested in. And I could definitely see where there could be room for improvement, but again, none of those take the center stage. It'd be one thing if she was literally just painting a landscape and it was all that, and we didn't see any of the other subtext that she was putting in. That would be one thing. But here, it's always just a backdrop because she doesn't want to present something blank, something with just a white canvas in the background.
But see, Jordan, if you were working with a student and they said to you, I just don't like doing that. I don't care for it. So I'm just not going to bother learning any of that stuff. I mean, would you say, yeah, okay, cool. So you still want to learn it. That's fine. Would you say that to a student today?
Probably not, but this is a very different time. Like, so we mentioned how she didn't get any formal training. Probably the most training she got was really was from her husband. And in an academic setting, that's very, very different because your job as a teacher is to make sure they learn and do all these things. And I think when you skip some sort of formal training, you kind of have a little more leeway into what it is that you really want to do. And so, like that's kind of like saying, I don't feel like doing sculpture, and then us getting on her case for not doing sculpture. Well, that's not what she wanted to do. She didn't take a class in it, as far as I know. She might have, but it's it. it seems kind of irrelevant considering all the other things that she can do.
It is, but the thing is, you can't excuse somebody's lack of experimentation just because, oh, they didn't go to art school. I mean, just because you go to art school doesn't mean, just because you don't go to art school doesn't mean an excuse is not trying stuff. I mean, it's like whether you have formal training or not, none of that keeps you from trying new things. And I just think, Jordan, that a really good artist is somebody who steps outside of what they already know. Okay, guys, are you ready? It is time to decide who won the Crit Clash. So get in there and tell us in the chat what you guys think, who won this Crit Clash. And let's see, we've got some comments in here. Tom G says Frida's life was so filled with pain. Her focus was always inward, fighting to live her life. What is in the background was unimportant and full of comparison. And Starving Artist says the paintings are made directly in response to her circumstances, not art considerations. Oh wow, this is sort of tight, Jordan. Let's see. I really was like, oh man, Jordan's gonna kick my butt because everybody likes Frida Kahlo. Who doesn't? How could you not feel bad for her? She had so many things in her life. Oh goodness. Delaney says, I find her art a little scary, but I think it's really unique. Never seen self-portraits done this way. Oh, I see a lot of Claras in here, Jordan. Okay,
This
I'm gonna start counting, guys. Lisa H says, I crushed you. Thank you very much.
crushed.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. This is me. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I think I won, Jordan.
That's fine. It's all okay. It's all good.
Callie is saying, I'm such a fan, so I can't betray my Frida, but you do make points I never thought about. Subscribe to Art Prof says, Clara, did you take a nap? I did take a nap. I took a 2 hour nap. Can you guys tell? Let's see. Blighted Angel says, sorry, Clara, your insistence that she was a bad draftsperson, couldn't paint backgrounds, is not enough to convince me she was a bad painter. Oh, geez. I think I'm going to have to like go back and do the counting. There's just so many because now there's a flood for Jordan going on. This is really hard. Okay, maybe Kira, you can do the tally because I apparently can't count anymore and
I
see
would
who really won because this is really tricky. So Kira, do that because we do have today, we have an art prof share. So I'm gonna share this first. And then Kira, maybe that will give you enough time to go in and do an official count because, you know, I don't know if you can trust me. So anyway, Art Prof Share is where you guys create an artwork in response to something that we have, like a video or an article, some of our content. And the Art Prof Share we're looking at today is from Sarah. I don't know how to pronounce your name, Boiza. Sorry, I know that's probably wrong. But Sarah did this portrait painting. And the really cool thing about this painting, you guys, is that it's actually painted with beet juice. And so basically, Sarah was looking at this section we have on our site called Teaching and Learning Art Online. And we have this whole directory of home art supplies, paint with mustard, paint with balsamic vinegar, hair dye, all those kinds of things. And so Sarah used beet juice for this. What do you think, Jordan? How did she do?
I think she did really well. I actually, when I saw the thumbnail of this, I was like, oh, this is really nice. And I started zooming in, and I had no, I never would have guessed beet juice first of all. I thought it was just some really nice, like a nice pink, alizarin crimson type thing. But I think this was executed really well. The painting isn't overdone. And I know with something that's similar to watercolor, it's very easy to do. And so, yeah, two thumbs up. This is really great.
I feel like Jordan, what Sarah did such a good job with is the painting has such a freshness to it. I think it's really easy to overlabor watercolor. I mean, I'm the guiltiest person when it comes to overworking a watercolor, and I just love that splatter at the bottom and those really beautiful, subtle shifts of tone in the forehead. Because the beet juice, it makes a really nice color, but it's not the darkest color. And so the contrast and the value range you have is extremely limited. So that's what I think Sarah did a really nice job with in this piece. So cool work, Sarah. And you guys can check out Sarah's Instagram. It's in the slide and also in the video description below. So if you guys have something you would like to submit and be considered for a YouTube shout out, just go to artprof.org, click on the purple button, which takes you to the ArtProf Share submission form, and we'll take a look at what you guys send us. Or if you just want to show us, tag us on Instagram, art.prof, and use hashtag ArtProfShare, and we'll take a look. Okay, who did the numbers? Let's see. Anjusha says, I have 22, and Jordan has 23. No, I can't lose by 1 point. Oh my goodness, I can't believe. Okay, it was really close though, Jordan, so I am not feeling so wounded this time.
No, that was a fair battle. That was a fun little
Although Kira
clash.
seems pretty psyched that you won, Jordan.
Kira, appreciate you.
If you guys would like to know what Jordan and I really think about Frida Kahlo in real life, come join us on the Discord server right after the stream. In about 5 or 10 minutes, we'll show up, and you want to make sure you go to the channel that's called Crit Clash Reveals. And if you are not part of the Discord, everybody in the chat, peer pressure everybody else who's not to join the Discord because it's where everybody who means anything hangs out. And the link in the video description below, if you guys have not joined before, join the ArtProf family and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters who make all of this possible. Jordan, do you notice how many more names are on the slide now?
Yes, it's exciting. I love it.
It's wonderful. And you guys have really come through for us. We so appreciate your support. Thank you for joining the Crit Clash, and we will see you guys over in Discord in a few minutes.